the pickle hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way.
Have it your way. Have it your way at Burger King.
If you recall that jingle, you remember when life in America was much, much better than it is now. I'm talking a quantum leap, night and day, from freedom to digital slavery. Because if you think about it, damn little these days is your way. It's their way. Whether you're dealing with Obamacare, telecoms, banks, insurance companies, we pay them and they give us abuse, bullshit, torment. Can this be reversed? Is there a fix? Well, I may have one. Stay with me.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry, fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Larry. Larry. Larry.
Come on, Larry. Larry. Larry.
It doesn't much matter where in America you are. The notion of having it your way is gone. Unless you're under 18, or a member of the military, or in a federal prison and want to change your sex, we don't say gender here, then you can have it any way you want and somebody else will pay for your transition. But for the rest of us, we now live under digital authoritarianism. There's the kind that makes headlines, like when Twitch shit and other social media platforms deleted all mention of Hunter Biden's laptop, or comments that challenge the obvious lie that the coup vaccine was 100% safe and effective, or the notion that an election might have been rigged. No, I'm talking about everyday digital despotism with little or no political underpinnings. When you move out of state and across the continent as I have, it again becomes clear you are forced to deal with an array of digital bullshit foisted on us by government and corporations. You kind of expect that from the U.S. government, the world's largest employer, protected by millions of people with guns and badges whose primary function is not to keep you safe. No, 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 it's to keep their jobs safe, keep the machine running, so those paychecks and pension checks and benefits will flow uninterrupted. Income without end. Amen. That's government. But now corporations are in bed with government and the ones getting fucked are consumers. Sometimes it's a big life-altering situation or it might be something as trivial as a goddamn doorbell, but the principle is the same. You pay them and you're going to have it their way. Some years ago in L.A., my old-fashioned, non-video, non-talking doorbell died. So I bought a Ring doorbell, not so much for its alleged security capability, but because it was wireless. I didn't have to start looking for a fault or call an electrician if I couldn't run it down. At first it was pretty easy and functioned okay. All it required was a Wi-Fi connection and an email address. I chose not to opt for the monthly subscription because I'm not going to rent a fucking doorbell. After a while, the whole Ring thing became a community. My phone was blowing up with stupid shit posted by stupid people.
I saw a coyote in my yard today.
There was a strange-looking man walking a large dog on my street. Should I call police?
I spilled ketchup on my shirt. What's the best stain remover?
Shit like that. Then Ring started pestering me for my cell phone number. Suddenly, email contact just wasn't good enough. They wanted
two-step text message authentication.
No, they wanted a deeper level of data mining and a more direct way to market their shit to me. They're also demanding a password change.
It's for your protection.
No, it wasn't. It was for their protection, and to shore up their inadequate porous firewall. Then, I left L.A. Tried to set up Ring at my new place. Suddenly, my old login and password did not work.
You must change your password.
So I did. Then they tell me to check my email for code to authenticate my account. But it's not just saying to check my email. It's telling me I have only 60 seconds to do it, and it shows a goddamn countdown clock. What is this? Mission Impossible? No email arrived. Now here's where I was dumb. I failed to record the phone call for your listening pleasure. In fact, henceforward, when they say,
"This call will be recorded for quality assurance,"
I will reply with, "This call will be recorded so I can mock and ridicule you and your company on my podcast." So after interminable prompts and questions and button pushes, I was talking to some live Ring wonk who reeked of viciousness and condescension. I described the situation for him, gave him my email and password. He emailed me an authentication code. I read it back to him. After all that nonsense, he tells me that Ring no longer sends codes via email. It must be via text message for
two-step authentication.
But you just sent me one via email, didn't you?
Yes, but it won't work.
Then why did you send it? Now we get to the heart of the matter. He wants my cell phone number. I tell him that's classified. He says there's only one other workaround. I can send him a copy of a government-issued valid photo ID, and then he'll reactivate my account. But I'll still need to include a cell phone number for
two-step authentication.
They want a copy of my license or passport to use a fucking doorbell that I paid for 5 years ago. I told him to get bent. So there it sits now. Just a battery-operated doorbell, no voice, no video, and I really don't give a shit because I'm not in L.A., and I'm not real worried about dealing with whomever comes a-calling here. Thanks to Barry Obozo and ObozoCare, health insurance is the most terrifying nightmare of bureaucratic digital tyranny. Remember this?
If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your private health insurance plan, you can keep it.
That punk lied. And that's what he was and is, a punk. He lied, not once, but again and again and again, and he knew he was lying. And our healthcare system, once the envy of the world, has become a shit show. My wife has a much longer fuse than I, and she graciously has shouldered the Herculean task of finding us new insurance. She has spent hours online and then more hours on hold conversing with various government workers, essentially begging them to please allow us to pay well over $1,000 a month to get some feeble fucking coverage. This is what happens when government, in particular Marxist socialist government, sticks its nose into the private sector. It turns to shit. Before Barry Obozo, multiple private insurance firms competed for our business, eager to please the consumer. There was a plan for every budget and every level of coverage. Obozo doesn't have to deal with the medical shit show he created, does he? No, he gets a lifetime of top-tier medical care, and it doesn't cost him a cent. But if it cost a fortune, he could pay, no problem. His net worth is now estimated at $70 million. Not bad for a civil servant, huh? A dude who never had a job in his life before senator and then president. How lucky can you get? They just fished his dead personal chef out of the water in front of his $12 million beach mansion. What was that about? Do you have a personal chef? Or a $12 million compound in Martha's Vineyard? Neither do I. But if we get lucky, we may score some shitty overpriced medical coverage. So there's that. Nobody seems to know why the chef decided to go paddleboarding at dusk and drowned in 8 feet of water. The guy was known to be a good swimmer, too. Even more curious, the 9/11 calls from Obama's place have been deleted from police call logs, so says the Daily Mail. Well, no matter. He's been anointed, canonized. He's untouchable, operating on a plane mere mortals could not begin to understand. Obama has a $65 million production deal with Netflix. Even though the only thing he's ever produced is racial strife and a wrecked medical system. Maybe he can do a documentary about his chef's mysterious death. Hey, speaking of chefs and food, I'm a bit of a sushi aficionado. It took me years to find a place in L.A. that was that good. Not some trendy hang for the Hollywood crowd, no, just an average-looking local joint, but the owner was a magician. We became pals, as did almost everyone who ate there. It was a party atmosphere. People throwing jokes at strangers, singing songs. It was nutty and fun. And at the center of it was some of the best sushi on earth. Artfully, consistently made by Chef Yuji. The guy was fantastic. He had only one sous chef, and the two of them could keep 20 or more patrons' plates full simultaneously. He wore no toque. That's for poseurs. Just a bandana, kind of like the Karate Kid. He played no kitschy Japanese music. Just a steady stream of reggae. Within 90 seconds of being seated, there'd be a tall Sapporo in front of you, plus seaweed salad and edamame. The sushi came in waves with incredible speed. If you're wondering what the place is or was or where it is, it's called Mon, and it's located on Ventura Boulevard in fashionable Tarzana, California. Check it out if you're ever in the vicinity and tell them Larry sent you. So we tried a new local joint about a week ago. The moment I walked in, I knew it would suck. No correction. I knew it would suck before we arrived. My wife had made a 7:30 reservation, and the confirming text said that the reservation had been approved. Approved? What, like a bank loan? No, Mr. Amateur Restaurateur. You don't approve of customers. They approve of you. Or not. We arrived at 7:30 exactly to a goofy little waiting area. Bamboo and a fountain. The cliched soundtrack signaling the food might not be good, but here's some smoke and mirrors and Tokyo decor and Hokkaido tunes to make you think it is. The hostess said we'd have to wait. They were busy preparing the table. Then she stood at her little podium and stroked her phone. 5 or 6 minutes later, she puts down the phone and guides us into the main room. Ooh, the big reveal. The table, well, it was one of many that were empty, and it had nothing on it but a half-empty bottle of soy sauce. This is what we were waiting for? I look around. A 5-seat sushi bar under disco lighting. Some long-haired old guy trying real hard to look like Jimmy Page, and he's working a doughy cougar beside him. He flashes his new porcelain veneers like a naval signal light. He's got his charm blaster on full seduce. But she doesn't look like she's buying it. Behind the bar, two chefs in matching outfits, black toques and Nehru jackets. They look like extras in some Chopsaki movie. They move glacially. We order two beers, seaweed salads, miso soup, and some sushi. The beers arrived after a few minutes. There's only about a dozen people in the entire joint. Three of them are women in their mid-20s laughing it up. They all wear very full tube tops, and they're having some kind of tit-bouncing contest. One hoists her melons up and then bombs away as the others whoop and laugh. Maybe this place is okay. Dinner and a floor show. My older daughter sees me laughing and asks why. I jerk my head and tell her to see for herself. Now our entire table is watching the boob bombing, and so is our waitress. Clearly, they're all pals. When the bombing mission ends, I wonder why those toque-wearing actors aren't doing anything. Maybe our waitress never put our order in. Whenever I sit down in a restaurant, I check the time. If no one approaches the table in 2 or 3 minutes, I get ready to leave. If, after ordering food, it hasn't arrived in 25 minutes, I always leave. I check my watch. 30 minutes have elapsed. I'm behind schedule. Guess that burlesque show distracted me. Not a morsel of food has arrived. We stand. I throw money on the table to cover the 2 beers, and snotty hostess cruises over, trying to salvage what could have been a hefty tab. She says the sushi bar is backed up. Incredible bullshit in my face. Like I don't have eyes. I announce, quite loudly, "This place sucks." We exit. There were many red flags along that little journey, but we should have heeded the first digital one. "Your reservation has been approved." That said everything, didn't it? Another digital gauntlet has been car insurance. For many years, I've used the same company. It was renowned for its customer service. And their reputation was deserved. They made doing business very easy. Until I moved, I called to let them know of an address change, and the woman on the phone said, "No problem, you're covered." But then came the follow-up email.
"You have documents to sign. Please log in immediately."
Log in? To what? But I keep records of that shit. Turns out I did log in back in 2016, so I plug in the username and password, but no dice. Now it tells me I have 5 more tries to get it right or I'm locked out. And I think, wait a fucking minute. For at least 12, maybe 15 years, I've paid you guys thousands, no, tens of thousands of dollars with hardly a claim. And through all those payments, there was never a need for a login or password. Just that Visa card number and presto. I have dozens and dozens of passwords and logins, and I don't want another. For financial shit, okay, I get it, money's at stake. But I'm not going to jump through digital hoops to sign a fucking boilerplate form to transfer my insurance state to state. So I called them. Explained the situation and said, "How about you just send me the form as an email attachment? I'll sign it. Boom, we're all done." But no, their policy is blah, blah, blah. Ain't that some shit? The big P word.
Policy.
I explained that my policy is I don't do passwords and encryption unless it's a financial transaction, and this is not. So I'm shopping for a new company. I feel like firing somebody. Looking forward to it, actually. I really don't give a shit about Bud Light and their boycott. They can use Dylan Mulvaney as a spokeshole or those syphilitic singing rodents that used to represent Quiznos subs. If you're drinking light beer to begin with, does it matter which brand of tinted seltzer it is? As usual, the public is being distracted by meaningless trifles. What we need to do as a people is focus on the real issues, like our rights to privacy, free speech, and choice in medical care. It's truly doubtful that any politician or election will be able to wrest America from the claws of the Marxist reptiles who now operate the levers of power. I, for one, truly hope that idiot Joey will finally taunt Putin into throwing one good nuke, and that solitary warhead will reduce Washington, D.C. to a Jenga game of white monument marble. Chuck Schumer's Temple of Democracy will be a pile of smoking radioactive slag. If that doesn't happen, let's pray for a breakthrough in telekinesis. Imagine if thousands of us could simultaneously focus our mental energy on some gas bag leftist politician, all of us Lutfas around the world. You might be in, say, I don't know, Elk City, Oklahoma, sitting at the dinner table with your wife and kids. You've been surreptitiously checking your watch because everyone has to focus their minds on the target at precisely the same time. At exactly that instant, you close your eyes, stop chewing, and envision a ruby red light beam boring into the skull of said politician who's on television braying about his newest legislation to advance his commie agenda. Your wife and kids notice your odd behavior. You hope they'll think you're just savoring the flavor of the T-bone steak, but meanwhile in Congress, the politician is in mid-sentence and he stops speaking. He blinks and stares ahead like Joey or Mitch McConnell having a senior moment. Others around him grow uncomfortable, then concerned. As they approach the podium to render aid, several veins stand out on his forehead, big as hot dogs. They throb and pulsate. His lips curl back away from his dentures, exposing his gums. His head snaps backward and his Adam's apple protrudes from his throat like the bird on a cuckoo clock. As the combined energy of thousands of patriot minds begin to produce an audible tone, the politician hyperventilates as the skull veins pulsate until his head explodes. The front row of Congress is splattered with his cranial effluvium, like the audience at a Gallagher show. That's what I'm talking about. Patriot mind missiles. Like in that old sci-fi movie, Scanners. First, D.C. Then a few state capitals and big city halls. Heads exploding like cans of stewed tomatoes in a microwave, painting the halls of power like Jackson Pollocks of gray matter, blood, and skull shards. A week of that, watch how fast their attitudes change from imperious to obsequious. Suddenly, no politician would be safe. No armada of armed guards could protect them. A few idiots would start wearing helmets, but then all they'd find would be their blown-up heads inside the helmet. Almost overnight, government, telecoms, banks, insurance companies, even shitty little sushi restaurants would adopt a new but old universal anthem. Have it your way. Have it your way. That's it. That's the big fix. Could it happen? Couldn't hurt to try, could it? Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Sorry this episode's a little bit late. If you like what you just heard, especially the Patriot Mind Missile, slide over to thatlarryshow.com for hundreds more episodes. Download them all if you like. You'll get a lot more entertainment there than you will from commie sources like Netflix. In fact, why not cancel your Netflix subscription, which is actually Obama's salary, and use that money to support this show instead? Click the Patreon or PayPal button. Any and all amounts are gratefully accepted and will help me keep this commie fighting enterprise going. If you want to write, it's thatlarryshow@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. My friends, we have allowed ourselves to become corralled by assholes. Instead of a lasso, they use a phone or a mouse. Patriot mind missiles are wishful thinking, but in lieu of that, let's resist at every turn. Break balls whenever possible. Call them out on their lies. Ridicule them if possible. Fire them. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, take no shit.